Good evening, Claire. We're going to begin on another subject. Well, it's not another subject, but it's an extension of what we talked about with the Apostle Paul. I said I was going to continue with the Apostle Paul, but I think we need to go further than that. We need to go to the aspect of obedience to the will, to your will. Obedience to God's will, to your will. And I think this is going to explain what happened to the Apostle Paul better than me trying to go through the normal process of trying to explain it. So let's begin in this segment, obedience to God's will. I want to say one of the greatest demands of the Bible, really, one of the greatest of God's demand is that not for him to bear the cross, to serve, make offering, or deny himself. When I first read this, this lesson here, it opened my eyes to a lot of things because I had the wrong aspect of thinking about obedience to God and his will because I had a vague understanding of what God's will was. And I thought it was bearing the cross. Now I'm not saying it's not part of God's will, but let me read this again. And then it's going to help you to see what the Spirit of God trying to develop in them. If the grace of God's demand on man is not for him to bear the cross, which is good to bear the cross, bear your cross. Jesus talked about bearing your cross. To serve, it's good to serve. To make offering, good to make an offering. Or to deny himself. The greatest of God's demand on man is for him to obey. Now, if you follow the greatest demand of God for us to obey, you can fulfill all these other aspects of obedience, which we had kind of separated into segments. I bear my cross. And we thought everything was just bearing the cross in all these different aspects. God ordered Saul, we're talking about Saul, not the Apostle Paul. We're talking about King Saul now. We move into another dispensation of time. But this example here is going to give us a good picture of God's will versus our will and trying to satisfy the criteria of obedience by trying to use our will and to satisfy God. Your will doesn't satisfy God. Your will only satisfies God when it becomes engrafted with God's will. When God's will becomes your will. And that's what the church needs to get. When I say the church, I'm talking about church as a whole. You need to get when God's will becomes your will. Remember the prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Remember, thy will be done. See, God's will, Jesus prayed that God's will was one of the greatest things. And whatever that will is, God's going to allow us to become partakers of it. How? I don't want to go into another subject, but he said men are led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. Well, the Holy Spirit going to lead you right into the will of God. And the will of God is not just bless me, O Lord. Bless me, O Lord. Bless me, O Lord. Bless me, O Lord. But God will bless you in the process of doing his will. See, that's what the apostle is trying to get to the body of Christ. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the will of God. And all these other things will be. He said he don't pray for nothing. It's stuff just run him down. Well, that's what we want to get. We want to be praying for things. Lord, bless this. Give me this. Lord, open the door for that. Lord, give me this. No, you do will. God's going to just, the blessing just going to follow the will. I don't want to go too far over there, but it's true anyway. God ordered Saul, King Saul. Now we're over in 1 Samuel 15 now. God ordered King Saul to attack the Amalekites and utterly destroy them. Yet after his victory, Saul spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, along with the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatted beasts, and the lamb, and all that was good. Saul would not devote them to destruction. He argued that these were spared to sacrifice to God. But Samuel said to him, behold, we've heard this word many times, obedience is better than sacrifice, attention than the fat of ram. Now, I can explain it better if we go to 1 Samuel. So turn your Bible to 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to look at this, and we're going to see just what happened to Saul. Now, Saul started out right, but he won a few battles. And the people began to tell him how great he was. Sometimes people mess you up by telling you how great you are, how great you preach. Oh, that boy can preach. Oh, that woman can sing. And so Saul would inquire of the Lord when he would go to battle. But Saul got to a place where the scripture said he did not inquire of the Lord. Why? Because he thought he was doing a lot of things. You don't ever want to get to the point where you don't inquire of the Lord. You're doing the Lord's work and you're not going to inquire of him? Well, certain things made him prideful. Certain things, they didn't happen overnight. What I'm saying is Saul's heart didn't get like this overnight. During the process of time. See, being king, I'm trying to get something out. Being king, you don't have too many people telling you what to do. No. King go and come as they please. But the prophet Samuel, people fear Samuel. When they saw Samuel coming, they would tremble and wonder what news Samuel got from the Lord. You see it? But when you're king, you don't accept too much advice. No, you don't accept too much counsel. Why? Because I'm king. I can make rules. I can change rules. I can do as I may because I'm king. And so anyway, with everything being said, it comes to the first verse of this 15th chapter here. We see this another man here. Samuel, Saul became another man in the process of time. Don't ever become someone who God didn't call you to be. Don't never let people change you. Don't ever let people misdirect who and what God has told you to do with their accolades and all their praise and everything. So that's what they did to King Saul. So it brings us to the first verse of this 15th chapter of Samuel. And God had given Samuel explicit instruction. I noticed how the details God gave Samuel. God didn't leave anything out. And I said, God, you're saying a lot of things here because God is a detailed God. When God gives instruction, God gives detailed instruction, and he expects you to follow him just like he said. You don't add nothing to it nor take nothing away from it. But Samuel has his own revelation here. And let's begin that first verse. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me, Samuel, the prophet, said this. The Lord sent me. My goodness, that's enough to shake you up there. The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people, over Israel. How therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord? Thus said the Lord of hosts. I remember that which the Amalekite did to Israel, and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite the Amalekite. God has a memory like no other memory. Amalekite did the children of Israel wrong. They ambushed the children of Israel. What do you mean the ambush? They came from behind, and they ambushed the children. See, with Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, the elderly people, the ones that couldn't move as fast, the children, the women and children stayed behind because they were the slower. One teacher said the weaker ones. And I know that not 1 week, anyway, they stayed behind. But the Amalekites came from behind and ambushed them and slaughtered a lot of these men, women, and children. God didn't forget that. God remembered that, what the Amalekites did to the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. And God is long-suffering, and what I'm saying is God doesn't react or respond when we think he should act or respond, but it's all part of God's plan. We don't understand God's plan because it doesn't happen tomorrow. You remember I said God always judges rebellion, be it short time or be it long, but God always responds when people come against him. Might not be when you think, but God always got a set time for everything. Now look what happened here. He said, now go and smite the Amalekite. Utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, everything, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telan, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid in waste in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, get thee down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. God spared them, which was right, the Kenites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until coming down to Shur and over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatling and of the lamb and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, useless, in other words, things that didn't have a real value to it, that he destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. Now, let me say this. Now, Saul had the direction from Samuel how to utterly destroy them all, explicit, detailed instruction of it. He said, I don't want anything alive. But Saul had his own intention. Saul had his will not totally connected with God's will. He had something that he had in his mind what he was going to do. He had offered some sacrifice in his mind. But God, I didn't see where God mentioned anything but sacrificing to me the good stuff, the good sheep, the good lamb. And look, save King Agag. But he wanted to make a parade of these things, a parade of King Agag to show himself strong. Paul wanted to show himself strong instead of showing God strong. Oh, my. God wanted to make himself look good instead of making God look, oh, my, making God look good. You heard what I just said? God put his will above God's will. Yeah, but I just, one little thing changed. That's all it takes, one little thing. I didn't do much. I could have said more. I could have said, but I didn't. I just kept a few things. It don't make no difference. It was one thing. It was out of God's plan. It was out of God's will. God had not prescribed that. God had not designed that. It wasn't God part of God's plan for Agag to be spared. Nor the best of the sheep, best of the cattle, nothing. God wanted them all destroyed. That's why the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Oh, and when God sent a word to a prophet, when God sent a word to an apostle, when God sent a word to your pastor concerning you, it's time for judgment. My goodness. Judgment. The 10th verse now. 11th verse. God, this is what God told Samuel to tell Saul. It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he had turned back from following me and had not obeyed and not performed my commandment. Well, yeah. You're going to find Saul going to say, yeah, I performed let me just read. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And I had another revelation here. I said to myself, sometime I can see apostle get, sometime I've been around him a little bit. Sometimes I see him get vexed with some things. And I even, sometimes certain things grieve him. And when I see him in those aspects of his life, the first thing comes to my mind is, when he grieved, God grieved. And I get grieved because he grieved. You see it? Why? Because I know my pastor's and my apostle's heart. That is for God. It's for following every aspect of God's will. So he cried unto the Lord all night. What are you crying? Now, you got to understand Samuel's relationship with Saul. The Bible talks about Samuel loved Saul. Yeah, he loved Saul. And I think he tried to turn this thing around against Saul. But something you can't turn around. My goodness, you hear what I said? When God says something, sometimes you can't turn certain things around. See, because judgment, God got to judge things. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is going about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. One translation says Saul set up some kind of a parade, something to honor himself. And that's where this thing was going. Saul was going to honor himself instead of honoring God. And Samuel came to Saul, and Samuel said unto him, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. No, but the Lord just said that he had not performed my commandment. You see that? He had not. He said, in that 11th verse, he said, he turned back from following me and had not performed my commandment. Well, but down in this 13th verse, the Lord said, he said, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Well, somebody lying here. Either Samuel lying or Saul lying. I want to say Saul lying here. Why? He got deceived. Yeah, he got deceived. And his deception caused God to be grieved. Sorry that he made him king. Yeah, Saul was sorry he ever made Saul king. And Samuel said, well, if that's the case, in his 14th verse, what meaning thou this bleeding of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Samuel said, they. Oh, that's the easy way to get out of something. Cast the responsibility on somebody. They. They. Who is they? The people. They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest have we destroyed. Well, here's my question. Who is king? You or the people? No, no, no. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Now, he about to give Saul his history and what he messed up at, where he failed at, where he should have corrected himself, and he didn't. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, I like to tell you, always this small in your own eyes. Was not thou made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, the sinners among the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey? Everybody underline this word, obey. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoils, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. My goodness. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite. You don't understand, Saul, Samuel saying to himself. You don't understand. That's not what the Lord told you. That's not the will of the Lord. You've erred. You've missed it. Don't try to explain to me your own plan. Don't try to convince me that what you did was right. All I know what God said, and all I know what God told me to tell you. My goodness. I hope that don't sound like nobody familiar, you know. But the people took of the spoil of the sheep and of the oxen and of the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, and this is the great saying in 1 Samuel 15 and 22 that we should remember. Behold, to obey better than sacrifice. You got to understand that. Obedience comes before sacrifice. Your sacrifice is fine, but if that ain't what the Lord told you, God is not pleased with it. Some people try to exchange sacrifice for obedience. They do things sacrificially to keep from obeying. Yeah, they do that. They'll give big offering, but don't want tithe. Boy, I heard somebody heard me. Sacrifice. And to hearken, then the fat of ram. For rebellion, see, God called it rebellion, is at the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is at the iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Oh, my goodness. I can go on and on. I can go on and on. Now, something happened here, and I just want to make the point that I'm going back to the notes. Something happened here afterwards. I think in the last verse. Samuel loved Saul. And God asked Samuel, how long? I'm trying to find it in the scripture. How long, Samuel, you going to mourn for Saul? Yeah. Looking at 35th verse. Looking at 35th verse. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented he had made Saul king over Israel. But I want to see this. Whomsoever God rejects, I made a little mention of it partially in one of my last class, I think, when I was dealing with Matthew 7 and 21 about people think they're doing the will, and Jesus said, you know, I never knew you. Depart me, workers of iniquity. Well, when people rebel against God, when they rebel against spiritual leaders, I like to follow the scripture. Whoever separate themselves from my apostle, I made a statement, they separate themselves from me. I'm not going to have kinship and friendship with people that not want to keep a connection because of their refusing to submit to delegated authority, whom God, they say, had put them under. But I like what happened at 35th verse. It's a hard saying, but nevertheless, they're true. It may even seem cold to some people. It may even seem that's not love for some of the people. Say, oh, no, God wants to love everybody. That's not the principle here. See, this not has nothing to do with love. This functioning in the principle of obedience here. And versus the principle of rebellion, a sustaining principle that people offend God with, they offend God with, they offend me too, and should offend you. But here's the part. And Samuel came no more to see Saul. No more. He separated himself from Saul after God. God said, I rejected him. So Samuel said, well, I got to reject him too. I can't go visit him. I can't go to none of his dinner parties. I can't go to none of his feasts, his meals. I just can't be partakers with him no more because God separated him, and so therefore I got to separate him. But no, sometimes people won't be friends and kinship. A little leaving the whole lump. Back to the note. I got to explain these sacrifices so you'll know what happened here, why it was so crucial for them not to be used by Saul. The sacrifice mentioned here was sweet savior offering, having nothing to do with sin. For sin offering was never called an offering of sweet savior. They were offering for God's acceptance and satisfaction. You see it? Why did Samuel say that obedience was better than sacrifice? Because even in sacrifice, there can be the element of self-will. You remember that? Even in sacrifice, there can be the element of self-will. Even though Saul was sacrificing to God, so he said, his will was involved. The whole plan of saving the king was his will. It had nothing to do with God. Obedience alone is absolute. Honoring to God. Obedience alone is absolute honoring to God. That's all God needs, obedience. God said, just obey me, that I'm honored. You don't have to do nothing. You got to add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away. Just obey me. God said, I'm pleased with you. We want to decorate it. And that decoration is for you, not for God. For obedience alone takes God's will. For obedience alone, take God's will as its center. When you're obedient, you've separated everything else. All I see is God's will, and that's all I want to do, is obey with God. I get in the way, do what I got to do, and get out of the way. What you say? And that's one of the secrets for serving in ministry. See, sometimes an apostle would have me to minister in his place when he would go. I said, Lord, just let me hold the people long enough till you come back. I don't try to come in no revelation. I don't try to come in no deep saying. I don't try to draw no attention to me. I get in the way, do the will, and get out of the way. I don't care if you never call my name. Get in the way, get out of the way. You see, people got to learn that. Obedience takes God's will as its center. But you can go there and try to raise yourself up as, that's why some people don't have they have short careers in serving in ministry, because they try to raise themselves up like Saul did among the people. want people to pat him on the back. Oh, you did a good sermon. Ooh, Jesus, you preach just as good as a pastor. They want you pat. No. See, when somebody said to you, you better separate yourself from them. They're dangerous. They're dangerous. Yep. It's just like the people saying, so we're going to sacrifice this unto the God. Save some of these best of these sheep. Oh, you're good. Oh, you preach some good. I like to hear you preach more than pastor. Oh, no, my God. You better run. You better run and correct them, too. All right. Now, if you don't want a long experience of serving your leader, you act like Saul. But if you want a long career, I don't use the word career, a long service with your spiritual leader and your pastor, then get in the way, get out the way. It's not about you. It's about doing the will of God and serving. God looking for people. The eyes of the Lord running to and fro to try and find people that can serve him like you want to serve him. It's rare to find somebody like you if you just getting with your apostle, with your pastor, and to serve and God's will at the center, you're going to be all right. But if you're trying to put your will and got a little self-will in it and you want to do little things he didn't tell you to do, you know, he giving an assignment and you got to do it just like he said do it. Not online. When you get to, you sit down. Don't try to add your little piece in there. No, you're trying to draw attention to yourself. Yep. For authority, I'm almost done. For authority to be expressed, there must be subjection. Yeah, it has to be subjection. If there's to be subjection, self needs to be excluded. But according to one's self-life, subjection is not possible. What is that saying? That's saying in your own power, in your own ability, you're not going to submit. Why? Because this submission has not been a revelation to you. You have not died to yourself. You have not died to the people. You have not died to your own will. That's why your will is one of the most important things when your will becomes God's will. Now listen to this now. I'm going to read this last statement again, but I'm going to add this other statement with it here. It's in your book. If there is to be subjection, self needs to be excluded, but according to one's self-life, that's your own personal desire, that's your self-will, subjection is not possible. This is only possible when one lives in the Spirit. One lives in the Spirit. Now, that brings us to Romans 8 and 14. What does Romans 8 and 14 say? For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. See, the Holy Spirit will not lead you to do things out of order. When you function out of order, now, it happens so much. It happens so much. Some circles you go to, the people have no respect for a pastor's leadership. They just take over and don't even acknowledge their pastor a lot of times. And they just run the thing just like he, with no order. So that means they never learn authority. They don't understand submission. And they headed themselves for ruin. But it's only possible one lived in the Spirit. It's the highest expression of God's will. Now, I just want to bring one more thing back to you, just to refresh yourself, just so we can put this back on your mind. I'm repeating this again. The greatest demand on man, and I hope you understand a little bit better, is not for him to bear the cross. You see it? That's where Saul got messed up at. To serve. That wasn't his greatest demand at that time. It was not to serve. Serving had nothing to do with it. Making offering had nothing to do with it. What do you mean? You're going to see when I get through talking. Denying yourself had nothing to do with it. All those things in particular are good. But at that particular time, in that 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, all God wanted for Saul was to obey. Now, sometimes, I want to watch this now. I want to watch your life as it unfolds. If you're in a serving position, I want you to pay close attention to this. Sometimes you're going to be tested, especially after some of these classes here. You're going to be tested in areas. What kind of tested? You're going to be tested to see if am I doing what I'm told to do? To the point of not adding a thing to it? What do you mean? Some of you serve in morning services. Some of you serve when the pastor's not in. Some of you over prayer departments. Some are over maybe the training classes when it comes to new member classes. And when you're teaching your class, am I recognizing I'm under authority here and I just can't say what I want to say or do what I want to do? Am I recognizing I'm over this prayer, I'm the prayer leader here, that I just can't say just what I want to say? Just because I'm a prayer leader, I can make changes like I want to make changes? Or I'm always recognizing that I am under authority? Now, we're going to get to a place where we're going to start talking about strange fire. Strange fire is adding things that God didn't add to it. The Leviticus boy, the boy in Leviticus, Nadab and Abihu, they ordered what God called strange fire. They ordered a fire that God didn't recognize. They added some things in the program that God didn't act for. So are you adding things to the program that your pastor don't know nothing about? Are you changing rules for some people that he explicitly told you this the rule set aside the way it's supposed to go? Are you making your own recommendation for things because you think you have the authority to do it? Am I stepping outside of my boundaries of my instruction, of the authority that my pastor has delegated me to? Or am I self-will or thinking all of a sudden I've been doing this so long, I feel like I just run this part now? I make all the calls. No. Or am I totally submitted to what you want me to do? So these are some of the things I want you to start thinking about before we get to our other classes and other lessons. So remember, class, that you should submit to every area of ministry, and this class is to enlighten you and to sort of like put a monitor over you to let you know that I'm either in God's will or I'm serving in my own self-will. Well, class, that's as far as I can go today. It's good teaching you, and I'll see you next week.